This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin. And first up on Pop It Pop Culture, we are talking about the passing of two icons in children's entertainment. First up, we have Carol Spinney, who is the puppeteer who played Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch for nearly 50 years and who died at the age of 85.
No matter how grouchy I am, they keep hanging around my trash can, bothering me. Well, if you won't go away, I will!
Can you beat that? Here I am, a nice bird, never ever grouchy, and nobody pays any attention to me. And everybody pays attention to Oscar. Now, he's grouchy all the time. Maybe if I was a grouch, people would pay attention to me.
And yesterday, Kamran Ismail, or Kamaruddin Ismail, digital animation pioneer and the creator of Kluang Man and Usopp's Ontorian, passed away at the age of 63.
Tapi Sob, nak lari mana pula ni? Aku rindukan bapak aku lah Sob.
Apa ni? Badan besar macam bas mini, tapi penakut. Budak kecil ni, cepuk sekarang baru tahu.
Apa ni bang? Tak baiklah main sepuk-sepuk bang.
So yeah, I mean basically two voices, right, who I think have been pretty formative for a lot of people, depending on what it is that you were watching when you were growing up. And we're going to be talking about both those things, basically about the impact of Sesame Street and Carol Spinney, but also of, I suppose, what it means, what Kamran Ismail meant, what Kluang Man meant, that's a hard sentence, and Usopp's Ontorian, of course. Now, focusing specifically on Sesame Street for a moment, it just turned 50, and there's a bit of a, you know, good news, bad news thing. Like we mentioned, Carol Spinney passed away, but Sesame Street itself is also about to earn the Kennedy Center Honors, which is one of America's top cultural awards, and it's the first TV show to actually get this.
So Sesame Street debuted in 1969 on American public television. It's in more than 150 countries and also has names in different languages. You know, the show, beyond teaching about the ABCs and the 1-2-3s, also teaches the importance of education, inclusiveness, acceptance and kindness.
So as always on Pop It, we wanted to, I guess, find out what people loved and remembered about Sesame Street. And Big Bird actually seems to be the character that most people connected with.
I liked Big Bird, yellow Big Bird, and I think it was Ernie? Yeah. I think they were more positive. Like, Oscar the Grouch was more negative, but then he added more color into the scene, which made it more balanced, you know? But yeah, I liked the positive characters more.
Definitely Big Bird, because I feel like he was the leader and he was one of the main guys who would educate the children on alphabets and all. And I also like Cookie Monster because he's just a silly guy.
I enjoyed watching all of them equally, but there was one character that I hated in particular. I didn't hate him. I was just scared. It's Count Von Count, I think. So he's that little vampire-looking dude that will teach kids how to count, like 1, 2, 3, 4. And he would go like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then, I don't know, but I used to be so terrified of him because he had fangs. And I'm like, why do you have fangs if you're in a kids' show, you know?
They also shared what they learned or didn't from the show.
First, the language, because I'm from Switzerland. Our language is German, so they actually learn English from there, yeah.
The basics of alphabets and how to use them, spelling, colors, the typical stuff from whatever you watch from Sesame Street. They are a good starting platform or show to watch with your kids to learn something.
Well, because of Count Von Count, I didn't learn how to count. That's why I'm really bad at math, I think. But other than that, you know, Cookie Monster did motivate me on my love for cookies now.
I've never heard someone describe Cookie Monster as motivational, yeah. But I guess in many ways, yes. I think I just really kind of wanted to look at Sesame Street because I've been impressed by by the way that they've kind of moved with the times.
Yeah.
And it's not often that you have a 50-year-old show that you can still actually describe and mean it as progressive. You know, it's not often that you can say that. And when you think about how you now have puppets emerging from recycling bins when they used to emerge from trash cans, when you think about the fact that they have, I love the fact that they now have they had a homeless character.
Yeah.
I just think it's really important to show the world as it is. Like, if you only show the super idealized version of the world, then you're not really teaching kids how to be inclusive, right? You're only teaching kids how to be inclusive when they know and understand, or if you're never kind of introducing new reasons to be kind, you know, new ways to show that kindness, then it's not really doing the job it has to. And Sesame Street did that.
Well, it's also seen now as and I think for a long time, actually, it's been seen as a public good, right? Because they feature many characters that were not part of mainstream TV. Then, you know, they feature people who spoke Spanish. They feature people who were of people of color. And even recently, right, because they still continue to engage development experts to help kids understand very complex issues. You know, in the South African version of the show, they introduce a HIV-positive Muppet, right? Mm. So I think that's always been the central tenet of the show, where they want to reach out to as many kids as possible, to the many lived experiences that they have, because not all kids are, unfortunately, living in conditions that are always ideal.
Sure. And, you know, and so that's, you know, Sesame Street, this like big international behemoth, you know, like with its marketing, with its merchandising, with a real well-run machine that fuels it and sends it out to different countries. And then on the other hand, you've got something very local.
Yeah.
You know, you have someone who passed who really contributed in a big way to sort of local children's entertainment. And I think that that's the other side, right? Like, on the one hand, you have like, what are Teletubbies? You know, like, what country do they come from? But when you have a story that is set not just in Malaysia, but more specifically in Tampoi, you know,
yeah,
in Johor, I think there is a sort of specificity and localness that creates a different level of identification. And that's also important to have for kids, to know that, hey, you know, my specific story, my specific life, my own lived experiences are being reflected on screen, or my imagination, my dreams. And so because we have these two stories coming together, we just wanted to talk about both. We wanted to talk about Carol Spinney, the puppeteer who played Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch and who died recently, and the impact of Sesame Street, as well as Kamen Ismail, a digital animation pioneer, creator of Kaluang Man and Usopp Sontorian. And we are going to be doing that after this with our guest, Hassan Muthalib, who is the filmmaker, animator and creator of the Sang Kanchil series. That's coming your way after this. But in the meantime, let us know, what were your favorite children's shows? Do you have fond memory of these cartoons, of these shows? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line now is Hassan Muthalib, who is a filmmaker, animator, and creator of the Sang Kanchil series. Hassan, thank you so much for being with us on the show.
Yeah, a pleasure, Dasha.
So, let's start with Sesame Street. Was it something that you watched or encouraged your children to watch? I mean, what is your relationship with the show?
I remember seeing it in the 1970s when I was a bachelor. It was on Malaysian TV, RTM, I think. And I was very impressed with it. But after that, I think it was not shown anymore. And I think we saw it on either VHS or VCD after that. That's what my children saw, and they were very happy with it. I was more interested in its modes of presentation, because I was beginning to lecture on animation and on film. And I was always looking at how can I be more effective in my teaching. And Sesame Street was a very big help. Now, it uses what we call multi-band learning. There are three kinds of things that have been shown or heard by us, the audience. Number one is, whenever they want to teach you something, they show you the picture. And then they have the graphic. For instance, if it's an apple, you see the apple, and then there's the word apple appears at the bottom. And then there's a voice that reads it to tell it that it's an apple. So according to the theory, two of these will definitely get across to you. either the picture, you understand and listen to the words, or the other one is graphics, or any one of the other two. So I think because of that, it was very effective in getting people to kids to learn. It seems that once they did a survey, and they found out that children who had been exposed to the Sesame Street programs learned things faster than the children that did not see the program.
What are things that Sesame Street did that were considered groundbreaking or avant-garde?
I think it was the way that they designed the characters, and the characters were very cartoonic. So I think it was because of that, it became very effective. And of course, they had a huge budget. I remember reading that it was about $1 million for each program. So definitely, they would have gotten a lot of people who would be thinking and writing very well. And of course, the puppetry itself would have required really, really good people. So money really helps. And everything else that came in was very topical. I mean, things that were happening all around. And of course, the children would react that kind of thing.
So, you know, with that said, right, like whenever I think about children's programming, I recognize that there are just things that I can't keep up with. It's a very crowded space, and there are a lot of different ways and different mechanisms now to get your stories across, get your characters across. And how much do you think Sesame Street actually influenced or helped shape the current landscape of children's programming?
Well, I actually don't know whether any survey has been done on that, but I'm sure it would have influenced many other people in the way they structured their program. For instance, I myself might have been influenced a little when I was doing the public service advertisements for Film Negara where I was working. You know, the Nyamo ADs, the Save Energy, and so on and so on. And I would use humor in all my programs, because people remember humor more than if you deliver something using present it in a very serious manner. For instance, in 1979, when I did the Nyamo Edis trailer, where I had all the mosquitoes talking, and it was very effective, and all the people I met, they said, teachers, lecturers, policemen, they said this is a very good way of presenting something. So it's not just the humor, it's the words that are being used and the kind of voice that you have. So in Sesame Street, you can see the voices are very distinctive to all the characters that they have. So each one has got its personality. And I remember that Disney, in the 1930s, he had a theory. There are three things he said to make something very effective. And number one, create great characters with distinct personalities. And number two, give them great stories to act out. And number three, the next film or production must be better than the last one. And I think Sesame Street proves that very well.
Carol Spinney was, of course, the voice and actor of some of Sesame Street's most loved characters, Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch. How integral is the person that gives life and voice to a character?
Well, definitely the person himself or herself would be a very humorous person, because in comedy, you are acting, but the acting is only believable if you yourself live the character. So you become the character when you act. So in animation, it's the same thing. That the animator is an actor with a pencil. So I'm sure all these people, they would be, you know, great with children. Otherwise, they could never do it. You cannot fake that.
Now, closer to home, we've seen the passing of Kamaruddin Ismail, the creator of Kaluang Man and Yusop Santorian. What will you remember about his role and impact on Malaysian animation?
Yeah, he was a very good friend of mine. So in 1994, I was on the panel at RTM to approve two pilots for the first ever series to be screened on Malaysian TV. And in 1995, Usop Santorian came on the screen. And coincidentally, at the time, I was starting work on Silat Legenda, Malaysia's first animated feature film. Mm. So what happened was, He knew that if he and his team were to draw the way we do, doing everything by hand, and then scanning the pictures and colorizing it digitally. So he came up with a system called the direct-to-system method, and he used very, very low-end software called Animator Pro. And they would have a drawing on paper, and then they would use the mouse to go over the lines, and you see it appearing on the screen, bypassing all the scanning method and so on. And then this system at the beginning was not very good because you could have only one pixel thickness of line, and you cannot do small, thinner lines or thicker lines than that. So what he did was something very pioneering, and then it was picked up by other studios. Whenever his staff left, they continued that, and unfortunately, he hadn't patented it, otherwise he would have been quite rich. So in 1995, we had the first animated TV series, and then he went to another studio, and he came out with Usopp Santorian. So, Usopp Santorian was the first one under Charisma Pictures. And this was about a couple of boys of various races in a village. And what was very comical about it was, that I remember very well, is the voice of the Punjabi guy who was a Sikh. And he had this kind of a raspy voice that would suddenly be high-pitched. So that's something that people remember. And then, of course, the use of colloquial words. I can't remember right now what is it, but all those appeal to people. Then he moved to another studio, UAS Animation, and he did Tuang Man, which became the highest-rated animation trailer, animation series at the time. He went into many, many seasons. But for some reason, I think he didn't exercise his business sense, and so it also did not belong to him. Then he was working with another company, can't remember what it was. He came out with something called CHETNAT, N-A-T. N-A-T is short form for national. So it was something very patriotic. Then when he started his own company called Quest Animation, and all in, I think he came out with 7 different TV series. And Quest Animation, it was Kumang, Toman, Legends of Kinabalu, based on stories from Sabah. And I think it was finally Dewi, D-U-W-I, of period characters, but the stories are set in outer space. So he was quite innovative, and I think he was one of the only animators and directors who decided to put in 3D backgrounds, especially in Kluang Man, even though he was not asked to do it. So he was an artist in the real sense of the word.
In your view, why is it important to have local perspectives and stories in children's entertainment?
Well, I remember when Dr. Mahathir took over in 1981, I had just become the head of my unit, the design unit. So the Minister of Information came in 1983. He looked at the first one called Hikayat Sang Kancil, 13 minutes long. It took about 18 years to complete by one man. And the minister told me that Dr. Mahathir wanted to reduce the number of foreign animation that sometimes brings in yellow culture. And he wanted local productions. And the one that was iconic to him was the Sang Kancil character, which is indigenous to the Philippines, to Indonesia and us, and even the Orang Asli. They had all these stories. So I was asked to do it, and then I took it from the book that had been written by, stories compiled by two Englishmen in 1938. And I adapted it and made it very, very funny. And that is the one that the people remember until today, keeps getting reposted on Facebook. Now, all these stories are very important because we need our children to not only watch foreign productions, but also our own characters, understand our own characters and our own stories. So that's what we started out to do. But because we did not have a proper studio, we were only designers who do titling, so it was not carried on. But this year, they had Open and In Pain, Chris Yamang Tunggal, where the producer was quite smart, and he was looking into some of our traditional stories, and he put all those characters into one film. So I think it's a very good initiative, and it should be continued so that we know what are our own characters and create our own identity out of that.
Hassan, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
A pleasure.
You just heard from filmmaker and animator Hassan Muttalib weighing in on, well, I mean, children entertainment, both local and international, right? We've been talking about Sesame Street. And closer to home, we've been talking about Carmen Ismail, who was a digital animation pioneer and the creator of Keluang Man and Usop Sontorian. If you would like to, I don't know, share memories, talk to us about what you enjoyed when you were a kid. What did you enjoy watching and why? We'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. For instance, we have Zaim Jalil saying, I was always fond of Thundercats in the 80s from the animation storyline and the characters in it. Good always triumphs over evil.
You know, I'm trying to really dig into my memory palace and figuring out what it was that really left an impression on me as a kid. I'm actually struggling a little bit because I did watch so much TV back then that...
Oh, I thought you watched too little.
No,
that's why
I watched way too much.
Right.
You know, come home and it's straight to the TV. You know, I never really bothered with homework. And there wasn't anyone really saying, hey, you should do your homework, but just kind of ignored that. Oh. I had a lot growing up. I had like Clifford the Big Red Dog, Roly Poly Oly, Doraemon, for example. Just a lot of stuff, you know, Buddha Estrella, what to do.
Sure. Doraemon was a big deal to me. Saturday morning cartoons in general, fantastic. Mm-hmm. I really loved so many things. So we'll come back and talk about that. But yeah, if you'd like to share what you remember watching as a child and why, you know, you still have fond memories of it, do get in touch and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.